So I want to take a trip back in time. Let's go back to a classic year, 1982. Wasn't that a good year? 1982 was a good year. And that was the year that I saw a comedy, a movie. It was a terrible movie, but it had an all-star cast. I'm surprised it was such a flop. And I did see this movie in the theater. It starred Henry Winkler, the Fonz from Happy Days. I mean, right? I mean, you're winning right there. Michael Keaton was his first starring role. I mean, he later went on to be Batman, you know. I mean, this is good. And Shelley Long from Cheers. I mean, this is an all-star cast, and yet this is not a recommendation. If you see it on Netflix, pass it by. The movie called Night Shift. Oh, some of you have seen it. Yeah, I'm sorry. Now, what's interesting about this movie is it also, as all movies do, they have a soundtrack, and this soundtrack should have had a hit. Some of you might know one of the greatest songwriters of our generation here in the United States is a guy by the name of Burt Bacharach. You've heard of Burt Bacharach, I bet. Most of you have. He's written just crazy amounts of good songs. And he wrote a song for this soundtrack that was sung by none other than Rod Stewart. Like, how can you miss Burt Bacharach and Rod Stewart together? But yet, it didn't get any airplay at all. It did. The soundtrack went nowhere. The movie didn't go anywhere. But it's funny to note that in this movie, Night Shift, Henry Winkler actually was nominated for a Golden Globe. I don't know how, but he was. He did not win. Even though you probably haven't seen Night Shift, you probably do not own the soundtrack, the song that Burt Bacharach wrote, I would guarantee that all of you know this song. Because in 1985, it was re-recorded. It was a single song release, and it was re-released as a charity song to raise money for AIDS research and prevention. It became a massive hit when it was released in 1985, and it became the number one selling hit in 1986. It won two Grammys, including Song of the Year, and in Billboard's Greatest Songs of All Time, it's number 75. It raised over $3 million for AIDS research and prevention, and it was not sung by one person, but by an amazing array of singers of Dionne Warwick, Gladys Knight, Elton John, and Stevie Wonder. And with that, let's hear that song. You know the song, right? Yeah. Who knew? Rod Stewart sang it first, right? We started looking at our core values a couple of weeks ago, and that song, What Friends Are For, reminds me of what it means to be in a Christ-centered community. Because when we do life, we do it together. That's what it's about. Keep smiling, keep shining. Know that you can always count on me. Because that's what friends are for. Not just at Bethel. It's how God designed us. You know, when we go all the way back to the beginning of God's story, in creation. What does God say to God's self? God says, let us make humankind in our likeness. Now, that can have lots of different slants to that, but one of them is this, is that we most resemble God when we're together. God lives in community, Father, Son, and Spirit. So we look like, we resemble God when we are together doing life together. What a wonderful thing. Another place, Psalm 133, King David once wrote this as he was writing a song to God, and he said this, how good and pleasant it is when we live together in unity. And I love that because it's true. We are actually meant to be together. And it's good that we not only recognize the importance of Christ-centered community, we should, but we should also not only lift it up and not take it for granted. Don't assume that Christ-centered community just happens without some work involved. Because here's the catch. Life together is also hard. It's sometimes messy. And honestly, sometimes we're the ones who are the hot mess. Community doesn't just happen. Now, Pastor Paul, who we heard from earlier in the readings today in Galatians, he wrote this about messiness. He said, brothers and sisters, if someone's caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore them gently. Now, here's the thing, is he knew that sometimes life goes off the rails. Notice he doesn't say, look, when somebody messes up, you should kick them out of the church. It's not there. He doesn't say, when someone is unreasonable, transfer their membership to the church on the other side of town that isn't that friendly. He doesn't say that either. He says, if you belong to Christ and you have some modicum of spiritual maturity to handle such things, help people. Help people. And that word restore, by the way, has multiple meanings. It can mean mending, like something's been ripped apart and it needs to be sewn back together. So sometimes when community's ripped apart, those who are spiritual should be about mending it and putting it back together. But also you could use the word repair. When something is broken, we should work on fixing it and not pitching it. Because life is messy sometimes. Now here's the thing, is when you talk about restoration or mending or repairing, is that it's not about somebody else when I talk about this. It's about us as individuals. So don't be thinking about other people. Think about yourself. We have to be open as individuals to being restored as well. Because there are folks out there who perpetually see themselves as right and almost always sees the other as needing to be restored. The problem's not me, it's them, and I will fix them. We don't need to be like that. We all need grace at different times. And that's the thing about being in community. Sometimes we will disagree. And sometimes we'll have a falling out. And here's the thing, is that if Christ-centered community is going to work, we have to make a commitment to it. I mean, just like the song says, right? In good times and in bad times, I'll be on your side forevermore. See, the thing is if we're only here for the good times, that isn't life together, that's just convenience. Now I need to pause for a moment. I want to clarify something. When Paul talks about restoring someone gently, this isn't about morality. This isn't about a community of nearly perfect people purging and rooting out all sin and tossing out people who can't get with it. It's not about that. Because I know that when some Christians who hear Paul's words, they're thinking things like, well, we need to hold people accountable, and we need to condemn sinners, and we need people to toe the line, or they need to get out. It's not what he's talking about. We all struggle at different times. This isn't about purging sin, because that's not possible. What Paul is talking about is making sure Christ-centered community stays together. It stays unified when life goes off the rails. That's what he's getting at. Help people who need help. Remain connected to Jesus and to each other. This isn't about purity or perfection. I'll prove it. Paul continues on. And he says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Carry each other's troubles. Carry each other's weight. Carry each other's brokenness. We're in this together. And most of you know what the law of Christ is, to love one another as Christ has loved us. That's the law of Christ. I mean, our theme verse even this year, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. See, we will not carry each other's troubles if we don't love each other. We'd be like, no way. Jesus carried our burdens, right? He carried them straight to the cross. And the great thing about this is we're invited into that thing that Jesus did to help people through tough stuff, to forgive others of hurtful things, and to be Jesus to one another. I mean, what a great invitation that we can be Jesus to each other. See, for Christ-centered community to actually work, it's not enough to say, well, Jesus forgives you, which he does. But for community to work, it's not enough to say, well, Jesus forgives your sins, as we harbor resentment or anger or sadness. It doesn't work. Like I said, we've been invited into this great thing that Jesus did on Good Friday and Easter morning for the good of others and for our own mental health. I mean, I know we hear some of this stuff and we think, yeah, people have to forgive me no matter what because that's what the Bible says. Well, hold on. It's not the Wild West in here. We continue on. Not only should we carry others' burdens and restore, but he also adds, I think this is fascinating, for each one should also carry their own load. In other words, we have to take responsibility for the things that we say and do too. It's not like, well, everybody else has to deal with my junk because that's what they have to do. You have to carry my burdens and I get to do what I want. He's like, you need to do some soul searching too. What is the kind of stuff that each of us put into the atmosphere? In modern mental health, that's called being self-aware. Paul's saying, you got to be self-aware. Are you mindful of your biases? Are you mindful of your hang-ups, your attitude, even your judginess? See, this, I love this as a model for keeping community strong. We help each other, but we also have to take responsibility for our own actions, too. It's not one or the other. It's both and that is what will keep us strong and together. See, on a more basic level, we need each other. I don't know about you, but when I'm with you, you bring out the best in me. I hope it's the same for you when you're together. I'm more joyful, I'm kinder, I'm more faithful when I have other Christians in my life. I see Jesus more clearly because of all of you. That's what community's about. You know, for years, I've struggled with this verse in Matthew. Jesus says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, for where your treasure is, your heart is also. I struggled with that. I'm like, how do you even do that? How do you make a deposit into heaven? And how do you store up things? And I can't even see it. And this week, I think I figured it out, at least a portion of this. Most of you know last Monday was my birthday, and I received wonderful birthday wishes from some of you and friends throughout my life from grade school on up, people all over the country. And it occurred to me at about Wednesday or Thursday that building relationships and tending relationships is the treasure that I'm storing up right now. These are the things that are most precious to me, and I'm storing them up because one day we'll all be together. And so as I build relationships and tend these relationships, that's what I'm depositing into heaven, because we'll all be together. And that's what made me think I could totally see Jesus singing, "That's what friends are for." Because remember, he called us friends. At the Last Supper, he said, "There's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends." He gave all of himself to draw us close and to call us friends, and that the fact that we belong to each other, that we're better, we're stronger, we're more faithful together than we ever will be apart. And it's not like this is an isolated thing. Jesus keeps saying that same type of stuff over and over and over again. We hear it in a different way, even this morning in our gospel reading. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Man, we are so loved. It is amazing. Because we're the sheep. We're the flock, and we belong together. Whoever heard of a shepherd with one sheep? They're always together. Now, one of the things that I shared with you a couple of weeks ago, whether you missed it or not, one of the things I talked about is each of our core values actually corresponds to one of our church seasons or several church seasons. And when I think of Christ-centered community, I think about all the church seasons that have white or gold. If you look up front, you'll see our paramount, our altar cloth with a gold cross and white background. And Christ-centered community really corresponds to all the seasons that have white or gold in them. And here they are. At Christmas, Jesus comes to us. And then we move forward to Easter morning, and we are reminded that Jesus claims us and adopts us into his family, not just for a moment, but forever, by removing the one barrier that could keep us from him, sin. And then at the end of the church year, we have Christ the King Sunday, which is a reminder that Jesus comes back, and he will never leave any of us behind. All these are about community. Jesus approaches us, takes the first step. Jesus claims us, and then one day he comes back for us. What a beautiful thing. All the while, Jesus is singing, "In good times and in bad times, I'll be on your side forevermore." Because that's what friends are for. Jesus is all about bringing us together. And we're just reminded today that we need to tend that community if it's going to stick together. So with that, we're going to pause. We'll pick this up next week with another one of our core values and another song. And with that, I say amen.
smarter than I am, bigger, stronger, too.